Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a praise this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The children are going to children's church. Y'all know me well enough by now to know that I'm very sporadic, very spontaneous in what I do. I had to learn how to do that over a period of time, and it had a lot to do with just trusting the Lord in the moment. And I think I'm there again this morning for just a second. But I just want to make a public proclamation today before we look into this message. And I just want to say this with all the love of Jesus that I can muster up and all the strength that I can gather together. I hate the devil. I absolutely hate sin. I hate iniquity. I hate the devil with everything that I can. I hate evil, wickedness. When you look around today and you see what's going on, I want as far away from the devil as I can be. I want as far away from wickedness as I can get. I don't want to entertain it. I don't want to pet it. I don't want to allow it in my home. I don't want it to be my friend. I don't want the devil to stick around and think that he's my friend. I don't want the devil to influence. He's going to do everything he can, because the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the Bible said, Jesus in John 10:10, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Can you give the Lord a praise? Amen for that. If you came in here this morning with the devil being your friend, I just offended you, because I said something that you don't agree with. And I tell you what, all you got to do today is just say something that somebody don't agree with, and they're on you like, I don't know what, like a pit bull on a bone. Amen? All you got to do is say something that somebody don't agree with, and they'll just tell you like it is. Amen? Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was going to preach a message and never did get to it. But there was a guy over in the Old Testament. His name was Joshua. And some of y'all are turning to the Old Testament. Don't do that. But he said, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? I've just got that determination in me right now. I'm just going to serve God, you know. I heard Dennis McGuire say it one time. He said it like this. He said, like it, lump it, jump it, clump it. Like it or not, like it or not, I'm going to serve God. What an awesome song to start this message with. I knew I couldn't hold myself back, Martha. You knew that. My goodness, at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. If you have your Bible this morning, if you have your Bible on an electronic device, I'm not going to accuse you of being on Facebook during church. I'm going to think it, but I'm not going to accuse you of it. We're going to be turning this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians, and what a fitting song for 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. There's actually 16 verses in this particular chapter. And Paul and the individuals that this was written to, they must have been having a moment like we were having this morning. As you reminisce over the glories and the splendor of what is yet to come. The title of my message this morning is simply this: How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. How beautiful heaven must be. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, Paul was writing this, and I'm not going to read all of it, but you can read it. And, I might end up read it all because it ain't going to make sense unless I do. Verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you," or came to you, "came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Paul says, I'm going to keep the main thing, and everything else can just fall in place where it falls. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." There was a pastor of a very large church in Georgia, if you follow me. The question was asked to him, "How did you succeed in doing what you've done?" He said, "We always kept the main thing. And that's what I read right here. Paul said, "I determined not to know anything else among you but save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of the power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not in the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom and the ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Verse 9, "How beautiful heaven must be. For I had not seen, as it is written, for I had not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." Well, Scott, it's time for my joke today. I didn't know we was going to do all this morning, but I had one too. There was a man that had died. And it was said, you know that when you die, you're not going to take anything with you, but this man got to the gate. Of course, this is all a story. And he asked St. Peter, said, "I know I'm not supposed to bring anything here, but I had to bring this one thing." "Oh no, we can't bring anything here." He said, "Let me check and see." He said, "I just asked for this one suitcase is all I asked." He said, "Let me check and let me see if that's permittable." He went and checked. I don't know who he checked with, but he went back and he said, "Oh yeah, you can bring this one thing, but you must show me what it is before you bring it in." He said, "Oh great." So the man went back and he packed his stuff, his belongings that he wanted in the one suitcase. He brought it back. He went to the gate. St. Peter said, "Okay, before we allow this one item in, it's very important that I see it." This man was a wealthy man. This man had it made. So he got to the gate. He opened the gate. He unzipped the pack. St. Peter went over and looked at it. It was a suitcase full of gold. Peter looked at him and he shook his head and he said, "Pavement?" That'll sink in after a while. Heaven is this beautiful place where the streets are laden with gold. And I'll get into more of that a little bit later on. But the Bible reminds us of this beautiful land, how beautiful heaven must be, and it reminds us of this beautiful land that we can only, in our mind and in our own idea, imagine what heaven is going to be. We look at the scripture, and again, he says that it is written, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." When we begin to look at this in verse number 10 and following, "But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, or the world, the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words of man, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, the Bible again says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's one of the most difficult things that I have came across in my life is to try to talk to somebody that's carnally minded, worldly, fleshy minded. I'm trying to talk to them about the beauty and the glory and the splendor of living a life that's concentrated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a very difficult thing to try to tell people, oh, you've got to be saved, you've got to be born again. I'm a good person, I'm okay, I'm fine, preacher, don't worry about me. I'll have my opportunity, preacher. I'll get it right before too long, preacher. I'll get it right one day, preacher. Carnal mind thinking and the carnal mind speaking. But you look at this again in verse number 14. He says, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judgeth all things, yet he himself judgeth no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, but that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Stretch your hand this way. Father, we love you today and we thank you so much for this time that you've given us this morning, Father God, to share the word of the Lord. Father, I pray, God, that you would take this feeble effort of mine today, Father God, to share the word of the Lord. Lord Jesus, let us see your glory. Let us see you in this room today. Father, I pray, God, that we would set our eyes and our affection upon you today and not the things of this world. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, Father God, for your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. When we began to think about this message earlier in the week and try to process it, I always process it for days before I ever put it on paper. Earlier in the week, I believe the Lord began to lay upon my heart this message today again, in a way and in an effort to encourage the church, to allow the church to understand that this is not our home. For you and I to understand that, as the old song says, I've got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. When we start thinking about heaven, one of the first things that I felt like that I wanted to propose before you today was simply found in the Word of God, which we know the Word of God, and I no doubt in my mind have preached this probably hundreds of times over the last many years. But one of the things I wanted to start with was this morning. Number one is that heaven is a real place. I've never been to Taiwan. I've never been to Los Angeles, California. I have been through New York. We flew into LaGuardia coming back from Ecuador, and that's about it. Flew in and flew out just about that fast. Didn't know much about anything else. Didn't get off the plane, didn't do anything. But I know today, just because of me being there, that it's no longer just something that somebody tells me. I've experienced it. Even though I didn't get off the plane, I know that LaGuardia Airport's a real place. A lot of places on this earth that I've never been. I've never ventured a lot of places. And they tell me that there's places like Japan. They tell me there's places like Greenland, the cold spots, or Chile. A lot of friends of mine at one time was from Chile. They've experienced that. And for them to tell me that these places are real and these places exist, oftentimes I look at them and we look at them in amazement because they've experienced that. They can tell me of a surety. I can stand here to tell you today there's a place called Huaraz, Peru. I've been there. I can tell you there's a place called San Vito, Costa Rica that I've been there. I can tell you today that there's a place called San Jose, in Costa Rica. I've been there. But for me to express that this morning to someone that's never experienced that, somewhere in their heart there's a check. Really? Is there really a place called heaven? Now, we've not been to heaven, but yet thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have gotten glimpses and we've gotten insight into what heaven may be through the Scripture. One of the first places, and I'll not get done with this today, there's no way I can. One of the first things that I began to look at when I began to think about that this very week was a simple fact that in John chapter number 14, in verse number 1, when Jesus was getting ready to go and ascend back to the Father, he writes back to that young church. One of the first things that he did was Jesus wrote this in John 14 and 1, and he wrote it about a real place. Jesus believed in heaven. How many of you know that? Somebody says, well, if it's good enough for Paul, it was good enough for me. Well, I'm telling you something that was good enough for Jesus today, and it ought to be good enough for you. Jesus said in the Word of God, he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe in me. If I was going to take the time to tear this apart and really take a lot of time dissecting a lot of stuff that's in my heart today, I would turn your attention to a lot of these words that's in here. But first of all, he says that we're not to be troubled. Why? How beautiful heaven must be. Because eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Heaven's going to be a glorious place. It's going to be a grand place. You and I that believe in heaven today, we can celebrate today because our loved ones are already there. They've already experienced this real place called heaven today. So again, we see this in the Word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. And he says, it's in the Word of my Father's house. There are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Again, dissecting the words and tearing the words apart and looking at every word. I could look at the word prepared. Heaven is a prepared place. It's prepared for you and I. It's for those that have confessed the Lord Jesus, and I'll get into that eventually. It's for those that's made their calling and their election sure. It's those, again, like I've told Miss Kay so many times, the things that we do, we must do intentionally because it's not going to happen by accident. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go there with intent. You're going to go there on purpose. You're not just going to happen to wake up and one day be there. There is a decision that's got to be made about your eternal destiny. Somebody says, well, I'll do it one day, preacher. I'd hate to go to bed at night not knowing whether I was ready for heaven. My God, I could run right now. I'd hate to lay my head on my pillow at night and not know if my soul was ready to spend eternity in heaven. Heaven ought to be one of the easiest subjects for any preacher to preach on. I mean, even as I'm preaching, there's just thoughts and thoughts and thoughts of things I could be talking about right now that I've got to constrain myself and stay with my focal point. But I will say this. Jesus said, again, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When you look at heaven, we think about it like this. Not only is it a real place, but heaven is the dwelling place of God. The dwelling place. Somebody says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other, I'm going to get me a fishing pole, and I'm going to go down there by the river of life, and I'm going to fish for all eternity. Show me that in the Bible. Heaven is a place of Jesus, where the Bible describes it, where the Lamb of God is the light of the city. Can I tell you that heaven is a costly place? It cost Jesus his life. We in the church have a tendency to celebrate heaven without thinking about the cost of going to heaven. One of the things that we deal with in the day and the hour that we're living in is the naysayers and the no-sayers and the agnostics and the atheists and all of this, and people that want to be rebel rousers and stir up and cause trouble. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Don't fall out with me this morning. It's too early in the message. If you don't make it to heaven, you don't have but one other option of where to go. Now, I don't have time to go there today. I don't have time because I'd get stuck. And it's as far as we'd get. But a few days ago, we were a little bit challenged, and I thought about it all week long. We have Lazarus in the grave. Mary, Martha scurrying around. Our brother Lazarus had died, and if you'd have been here, Jesus, then we know that Lazarus would not have died. Paul, on one occasion, Paul said, I'm ready to depart from you. I'm ready to go see Jesus. I'm ready to go to this glorious land, a land of no sorrow, a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm ready to go, but yet Paul said it's more needful for me to be here with you right now. In other words, his mission was not done. It's more needful for me to be here with you now than with them there. Lazarus was there in the tomb and in the grave, and then where we see that Mary and Martha was there, and Jesus came back to them in 11:25 of the book of John and said that Jesus told them, said, I am the resurrection and the life, that though he is dead, yet shall he live. A few days ago, we had this conversation with someone that was basically saying, we really don't know what's going to happen when we die. Nobody's really come back and said that. And I pondered on that for a few days, and sometimes I try not to stir too much up sometimes. And again, I'm not going to go there because I'll get stuck. But the Bible reminds us, I think it's in Luke, I think chapter 16, because I didn't study it. I just thought about it. The scripture says there was a rich man that fared sumptuously every day. He was a cool cat. He had it made. He didn't need nothing. Every day he was eating prime rib and pork chops. Maybe not pork chops, but every day he was eating something good. But there was this poor beggar named Lazarus that desired to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Guess what happened to him? The great equalizer is death. For it's been appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the great equalizer is death. In Adam, all men die, but in Christ, all men shall live. And I'll leave that alone too. That's for another time. But here's the thing. We look into that scripture in Luke 16, and it says they both died, and Lazarus went, and he was taken to paradise. He was taken to the bosom of Abraham. And that's a message by itself as well, but I'll move on. Because after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus went and he led captivity captive. He called them out of there. But the same thing happened that this rich man died. And in this, the Bible says that this rich man begged to go back and to let his brethren know of this horrible, terrible place called hell. To warn his brethren of this horrible place not to come there. But yet we see in the same respect, we see Lazarus, who didn't have anything in his life, who seemingly had nothing but trouble all in his life. The Bible says that he was being comforted. So not only was heaven a costly place, heaven is a place of comfort. And I'll get into a lot of this stuff as we walk through this. So in this, we can see that heaven is the dwelling place of God. Heaven is the dwelling place of God because he said, in my Father's house, this is where God lives. And again, as I read through commentary and different things, and to be honest with you, we can only suppose by reading a lot of Scripture what heaven may be or what it may not be. Heaven has given us a great glimpse of that through John in the book of Revelation, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But today, in all reality, we have a very, very difficult time trying to grasp the total concept of heaven. When you talk to some people today about heaven, it's like you're talking in a foreign language. In all reality, in some ways you really are, because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. And it's by the Spirit that you and I, even as we sit here today, that we understand by the power of the Spirit, hey, there's a place beyond the veil. There's a place beyond here. There's a place beyond right now. Secondly, this morning is simply this. Not only can many people today not grasp the concept of heaven, but I wanted to park right here for just a few minutes as I move through this. And this may be as far as I get. And I thought about this. It's beautiful. Does everybody in the room want to go to heaven? That's most everybody. Some of you are watching your phone. I understand. You're watching a service on your phone. I understand. We all want to go to heaven. Watch this. This is awesome. This is very awesome. Because heaven is an equal opportunity. Equal opportunity. In other words, the Bible says that anybody can go there. Anybody. When you look in the Scripture in John 3:16, we know that Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that... And I like this word because I keyed in on this word when I was studying, because it says, whosoever, whosoever. We hear that little children's song in the back of my mind, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. That Jesus loves the little children of the world. And whosoever shall call upon His name. We look at this. Believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in this Scripture, the thing I thought about with heaven, heaven is a place of everlasting life. Everyone has equal opportunity to go to heaven. Yet so many refuse the way to get there. They think they're going to get there by their pedigree. They think they're going to get there by the influence. They think they're going to get there by shaking the preacher's hand or joining a church or any other. I was faithful. No, there's only one way to get to heaven. One. Somebody shout one. One. Even though it's an equal opportunity, when you look in the Scripture, Jesus again says this in the Word. In John 14, we look at John 14 verses 5 and 6. When you begin to look at that, not only does we understand that heaven is a real place. Again, heaven is where the Christian goes when they die. Heaven is built and designed by God. Again, we look at this, and one individual said, how can I know I will go to heaven? Jesus said this in the Word, and Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whether Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Again, the emphasis here is upon the way. Again, I mentioned this about 2 weeks ago. It's in the book of Proverbs. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof is the way of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But to go to heaven, there is not but one way. And Jesus, in this Scripture, verse number 6, Jesus said these words. He says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. Oh, don't that just make people cringe today? Don't that just make people's eyes dilate when you begin to tell them that the only way to, and they say, oh, you're one-sided, or you're this, or you're that. Can I tell you that all religions don't lead to heaven? Brother Scott said that good in the lesson this morning. All religions don't lead to heaven. And I'm not even talking about a Christian religion today. Because I've met some Christians, they're meaner than junkyard dogs. I just say it like I feel it. It's the truth. Look at your neighbor and say, be kind to me. Just be kind. Be kind. But he says here in the Word, Jesus said, I am the way. Signifying that Jesus is the only way to the Father's house. I got hours worth of stuff I've studied. I'm telling you what's the truth. I just wish I could get through it all. And he says here in the Word, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at this next thing. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They used to say all roads lead to Rome, and there's a whole reason behind that. And I don't even want to go there. But all roads don't lead to heaven. Because the Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way to those that find life and life, everlasting life. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So with all of this being said today, if you're going to go to heaven, even though heaven is an equal opportunity, you've got to know in your heart who Jesus is. Again, when you look at this, and I forgot to write my text down, but you know it very well. I wrote part of it down and forgot to write the rest of it down. It's in Acts chapter number 16, when Paul and Silas was in the jail. I mentioned this Wednesday night. When the Philippian jailer, after the earthquake, after the release, and after everything was there, and Paul told that Philippian jailer, hey, don't kill yourself. Don't commit suicide. Don't do yourself no harm. We're all here. And then he looks back at Paul and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then Paul's reply was simply this, to believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So again, if you're planning on going to heaven, this beautiful land that we talk about, you've got to be saved. Jesus reiterated and reemphasized this to a young man by the name of Nicodemus. Jesus said this in the Word. He said, marvel not that I say unto thee that you must be born again. People say, well, I'm going to get to heaven again on my merit, on my pedigree, who I know and what I've done in my life, not of works, lest any man should boast. This again is in Romans 10. You know the scripture as well as I do. Don't you love simple messages? Simple messages that can impact your life for all eternity. When you look in the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, we see these in the Word. In verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, you've got to open up your mouth. You got to say it. Boy, I look at this scripture, you got to say it. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess me before men, and I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, then I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. So you've got to go open with your confession today. He said, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Well, preacher, I can go so far with you, but this resurrection thing, I got to part company with you on that one. Again, I don't have time to really spend a lot of time there, but Jesus was seen 40 days after the resurrection upon the earth. Paul even said, and he was seen of me also. If you read 1 Corinthians, he says that he was seen above 500 people. And the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen, as he said. So there again, this all ties in together. If you're going to go to heaven, you've got to confess Jesus Christ. Not just come to church. I told somebody the other day, if you come to church just for the sake of coming to church, you're just coming to church. If you just have a religion, that's all you got is a religion. At the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road and we stand before Jesus, He's not going to ask you if you was a good church member. He's not going to ask you a lot of things that we think we're going to be asked. But I do believe that according to our works, we will be rewarded. That's another message for another time. But you know what's really going to make a difference in this whole thing? If we truly know who Jesus is in our heart, signifying this, that only those who have confessed with their mouth, believed in their heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, he says, thou shalt be saved. Man, it's 12 o'clock now. I got a whole different section to move into. Okay, thank you very much. When you look at this again, so if we know that we've been saved, if we know that we've been born again, if we know that Jesus said that I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive. If we know all this wonderful, wonderful stuff about heaven, how beautiful heaven, I want to go to heaven. What about you? I think years ago there was a song that said, heaven, I wouldn't miss it for this world. What are you holding on to? What are you clinging to? What is so precious to you that is keeping you from your relationship with the Lord Jesus and holding on to Him today? I hear in my own mind, my own spirit, to just let it go. Make sure that you're ready for heaven. When you begin to look in the Scripture, again, we're reminded if we don't know who Jesus is, we're reminded of who Jesus is. And if we don't confess Him with our mouth and believe Him in our heart, it's very simple. If you don't, you won't. By that, I'm just simply saying, if you don't confess who Jesus is, you're not going to make it to heaven. Now, I don't know how this time gets away from me so fastly. I want to go real fast to a very, very unpopular group of scripture. Scriptures that typically people don't like because typically they say, well, preacher, you're judging me. You're not supposed to judge. You're not. Judge not, lest you be judged. By the same measure you judge others, you'll be judged by that same thing. And again, I learned this a long time ago. When you judge someone, it is you elevating yourself into a position of superiority over them, that you have the authority and the right to pronounce sentencing upon them. And I don't have that right here today, but I do have a right to share with you what the Word of God says. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 opens this up. Now, if you go to the bottom of that, it's the beautiful fruit of the Spirit that Brother Scott talked about in Sunday school. But when I looked at this last night and I began to look at this in the Scripture, I thought, how's that going to fit? Because there's some folks that will not make it to heaven. There's some people that's not going to make it. Galatians 5 and 19, actually, if you look at that, it opens it up and it says it like this. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Now, I'm not going to go through there and break down all these. I could, but I'm not. I'm not even going to turn there. I'm going to let Abby do it because I get stuck when I do it. I got notes written in my Bible that distracts and gets me stuck. Now, these are the works of the flesh. These are the manifestations of the flesh. This is what's telling on you. It's not that anybody else has to judge you. You judge your own life by your own works. This is what other people see you doing. This is what other people see you do. And really, by your fruit and by your works will really be determined whether you're ready to go to heaven or not. And this right here, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, revealed, made open. Which are these? Adultery. Well, that's pretty plain. Fornication, that's pretty plain. Aren't we shouting in the church of God this morning? Hallelujah. Uncleanness. Unclean thoughts, words, things you do. Lasciviousness. Go on to that next one. Idolatry. Idolatry is not an idol set up on the plain of Dura like Nebuchadnezzar. When you hear the music, you're to bow. Idolatry is anything you put before God. Hello. They say a mic drop. That was a mic drop. That was one of them. Uh-oh. Witchcraft. We don't do that no more, preacher. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. 21. Envies, murders, drunkenness. How many people think they're going to go to heaven, but they're not really going to go? How beautiful heaven must be. If we really believe it, people would stop their sinning today and they would clean their act up. They would repent of their sins and they'd get their heart right before God. And they would not let anything keep them from the glory of heaven. If we really believe that heaven's that good of a place. He says in this word, reviling and such like, such like. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just saying such like, this type of behavior and this type of lifestyle and this type of actions. Of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they ain't going. Are we okay? They ain't going to make it when the trumpet sounds. They're not going to go. They're not going to make it. You say, are you boasting? Are you gloating? Absolutely not. That is heartbreaking. Because you have family members and I have family members that you've prayed for and I've prayed for and we've begged God to save them. Boy, I've depressed half a dozen or so this morning. This was supposed to be an uplifting message, Brother Beckner. It's supposed to be a glorious message today. Well, it is. Because heaven's a beautiful place. You don't want to go to the other place. You don't want to go. And this whole thing that I mentioned to you just then, if you find yourself in that category, here's the good thing. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. That it's building your faith and it's encouraging you to turn your life around, to get on the straight and narrow, to get your life together, to get your act together. And just like this song they sung this a while ago, about an hour ago, the Midnight Cry. That, and Martha even mentioned it. She didn't know everything I was going to mention today. They didn't have a clue. I didn't tell them. But the Bible says that Jesus is coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this mortal is going to put on immortality. And then Thessalonians talks about that when the last trump sounds, that the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We talk about this glorious rapture. We talk about all this thing. But the thing about it is, and I'm not going to go into the rest of this. I've got three more pages. Can't get into all that right now. I will get into it, but not right now. Heaven's this beautiful place of peace. I'm gonna leave you on a good note. Was that good? I'll leave you on a good one. Heaven is described as a beautiful place. Again, when you go into Revelation chapter 21 and 22, you can read all of that, and John saw, and Jesus told him to write, "Behold, I come quickly." But here's one of the things I really, really, really want to leave you with today. That heaven is a place of total peace. Never heard that word. Heaven is a place of total peace. And God knew that. Here's what Jesus said in John 14 and 27. Jesus says this. He said, if you look at that, "Peace I leave with you." How many of you like to live in peace? I love to live in peace. I do. I will remove myself that quick from conflict. You say, "Are you scared?" If I was in the mountains, I'd say scared. No, I ain't scared. I'm wiser than that. The Bible reminds us not to get involved in those type of things. Live at peace with all men, whereby possible. But heaven's this glorious land of peace. Jesus said again, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." Why? Because it's a fake sense of peace. He says, "My peace give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Here's the thing, and I'm done. Heaven is described, and again, I'm not finished, I just got to quit. Heaven's described as this glorious place. And John actually saw this in Revelation 21. And he sees this. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Again, looking at this, he says, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Now, verse 4. How many of you are a little bit bumfuzzled today, a little bit troubled today, a little bit filled with some anxiety today? Worried about COVID, worried about this, worried about bills, worried about... Well, you get my drift. Worried. You won't have that in heaven. You won't have to worry about all the things that you and I worry about. Somebody says, are you talking about escapism? Oh, no, I'm talking about the reality of the Bible. I'm done in just a second. I promise. A few seconds, but... And he says, and he will dwell with them. That alone ought to be beautiful. And he says, and shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now look at this, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Everything that you're stressing about today won't even be a memory there. You won't remember that no more. He says, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcome shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And all the church said, hallelujah and amen. For the fact that God has promised us this glorious place called heaven. But unfortunately, everybody won't be there. Unfortunately, everybody won't get to go. Because he says in this next verse, if you begin to look at that, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. But the fearful, the unbeliever, the slanderer, the abominable, the murderer, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We have a choice. I think everybody in this room has already made that choice, I would assume, not to miss this glorious land called heaven. I look around this room today, and I'm not going to start naming names. I wouldn't do that. But how many of our loved ones have already made it there? How many people do we know that's already made it there? And I know the old age question, will I know so-and-so when I get there? Will I know? According to what I studied and according to what I understood, we're going to know each other as we've known each other right here. I'm going to know that's Sandra Ivy Neely right there. I'm going to know Sandra. How you doing, Sandra? Praise God. Isn't it good to be in the presence of Jesus today? You going fishing today? I don't think that's going to happen that way, because they worship God day and night. The Lamb of God is the light of the city. It's a worship service. I don't know everything that's going to be going on in heaven. I don't know. Only thing I know is I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. In other words, it's more than we can think or imagine. I mean, we can only get a glimpse. Because the Bible says we look through this glass darkly. We look through the veil of the flesh into the supernatural. What a glorious land that's going to be. Stand with me. What a beautiful, beautiful land heaven's going to be. Here not long ago, myself and somebody else in the building was just having a conversation. And they said, well, I'm ready to go, but just not today. Well, are you ready to go today? Or are you ready to go, but just not today? What about this? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Say, well, preacher, I want to live a little longer. I want to see my kids grow up, my grandkids grow up. We all do. I'm not trying to minimize that. But if they're ready to go, we're going to be like this old hymn. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Let's bow our heads and pray together. If you're here today or listening to me online and you're not sure, you're not really sure about this heaven thing, just simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I make my confession with my mouth. I make my confession with my mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Come into my life. Oh, God, right now, forgive me, save me, cleanse me, make me whole. Wash me in your precious blood that I may be ready to go to heaven. Because we don't know when Jesus is going to come. In such an hour as you think not that the Son of Man returns and he comes again. could be today, it could be tonight, it could be by the morning. So as your head are bowed, your eyes are closed, or watching online, would you just search your own heart right now? And if you have to ask yourself, am I really ready? Ask yourself that question. Get a confirmation in your spirit by the Holy Ghost. And as I mentioned last Sunday, go with God. Don't walk out of this room this morning not knowing. Don't lay your head on your pillow tonight and not know. No, don't do that. Know for sure. You may not know the calendar date. You may not know the hour of the day. But there's a cognitive time in your life, a conscientious time in your life, that you ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. And if you can't do that today, right now is as good a time as any. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash my sins away. And if you'll do that, I guarantee He'll save you. Amen. Let me make a couple of announcements for you. First of all, the buckets that we brought out for the Gideon offering are at the door. Wednesday night, Thanksgiving week, we will not have service in the building. Be online at 7 o'clock. We may just give you something special as a devotion on our prayer page. 7 o'clock. Not in the building. We love you. Thank God for you. Hey, if you want to talk to me privately about your salvation, do that. Do that. I don't want to ever appear like I'm an unreachable or an untouchable. I'm not that way at all. I'm not that way. God bless you. Have a great evening. Have a good Thanksgiving if we don't see you before now and then. Amen.